From WUWM Milwaukee, this is Lake Effect Weekend, and I'm Bonnie North. Coming up on an all-music edition of the show, a group dubbed the latest Irish supergroup isn't based in Ireland at all, but just south of us in Chicago. Bohola performs for us in the studio. Then Mary Jane Lamond and her band celebrate the music of Nova Scotia and Cape Breton.
Alan Lomax said, I think he said, the work songs of the Scottish Gaels are like the jewel of Western Europe because they're so numerous and vast, like rowing songs and reaping songs, spinning songs, weaving songs. They sang to every kind of work they did.
And what brought a bunch of guys from Atlantic Canada together around Appalachian music.
Bluegrass is the kind of music that really brings people together. So for me, anyway, when I fell in love with it, I just didn't want to do anything else, really. I mean, I enjoy lots of other kinds of music and playing them, but in my heart, you know, it's like I want to play bluegrass music.
It's all ahead on Lake Effect Weekend. First, the news. This is Lake Effect Weekend from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Irish Fest continues all weekend. It's North America's largest celebration of Irish music and culture, and our program today features three groups you won't want to miss. First up is the Chicago-based duo Bohola. They're dubbed by the Irish Herald as the newest Irish music supergroup, so basically they're a trad-playing version of Cream, well, minus Ginger Baker. Bohola is accordion virtuoso Jimmy Keane and vocalist Pat Broders, who also plays the buzar, that's a bass bouzouki and guitar hybrid. Both have played with the Irish greats here and abroad, and they're greats themselves. They join us in the studio now, and we're hearing a medley of jigs. Jimmy Keane and Pat Broders in Lake Effect's Performance Studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bonnie.
That was really fantastic. What a great sound. What a great sound you guys have. How long have you been a duo?
Shortly after you came to Chicago.
Yeah, so 20-odd years.
20-odd years, yeah. And we've been playing since...
20-odd years.
Yeah.
In different variations. I suppose we've been a duo for the last 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, Bohola started off about 1999, and we were two, and then went to three, and then went to four, and now we were regressing.
We've had button accordions in here, but we have not yet had the piano accordion.
Thank God.
You're very lucky. So I don't know how you avoided it.
So what, musically, what's the difference for people who might not know?
The usual accordion used within Irish music and a lot of ethnic music, it would be the button accordion, which buttons on both sides, and you'd get two notes for each button, where this is just laid out like a piano or an organ, one note per key. So it's more the same as a...
It's like a hammer. You get one sound.
It's a nice hammer, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's Maxwell's silver hammer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a piano. It's just a lap version of a piano.
Or as a lot of people call it, the stomach Steinway.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, they're very popular here in Milwaukee because we have such a German and Polish,
correct.
You know. And so I think we tend to think of the piano accordion more in that kind of music than necessarily Irish. But is that true?
And well, this is used quite a bit. The piano accordion is used quite a bit in Scottish music, whereas it's more so the button accordion in Irish music. But that's really been changed over the last 30 years. There's some brilliant young piano accordion players out now, more so than there were, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Right. It's not Lawrence Welk anymore.
Never was. Oh, there was a touch of Lawrence Welk, but that was more...
Oh, there was, yeah. It's more than a touch sometimes.
That was more in the 40s and 50s.
That's just, yeah, it was the era it was in, I suppose.
And Pat, you have a really interesting instrument as well because it's a crossbreed.
Yes, it's a hybrid, I suppose, yeah. It's the guitar body with a bouzouki neck. And some people call it a gazouki and other people call it a bazaar. It's set up like a mandolin, double strings. There's eight of them, so... four pairs.
And what does having the guitar body do for you musically that a regular bouzouki wouldn't?
It gives more of a bass response to the instrument, so it's a richer sort of tone. whereas a regular bouzouki would be a little bit lighter.
And it makes it look more normal.
Plus, it's easier to hold when it's shaped like a guitar.
And I would think, too, the combination of the two instruments, it gives you that bottom sound to kind of go off, you know, to kind
Correct,
of balance
yes.
what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's why I had this built, actually, was because when I started playing with Jimmy, we didn't use a guitar because none of us play guitar, but I needed more bass response to cover the area because it was only me really doing the rhythm stuff. And I went to Joe Foley, who built this, and asked him, I says, can you put a guitar body on this? But I got a longer neck as well, so it's not a regular scale neck.
So you get some deeper.
I tune it down to C
okay.
rather than up to D.
Okay.
So it just gives a richer tone, yeah.
You're based in Chicago, right?
Correct, yes.
The cross-pollination between Ireland and Chicago in terms of the music over the years has been really, really interesting. And the Irish Fest archives here have some amazing recordings from Chicago from like the turn of the last century.
Oh, yeah, part of the Dunn Collection.
Part of the Dunn Collection, yeah. And so there has been this like give and take. Both of you are immigrants, and immigration seems to be such a huge part of Irish music, you know, the travel, whether it's because you're displaced or whether you choose to go or come, that seems to be such a big part of the music. Is that fair?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And we've met many people traveling. It's very unusual that you end up someplace that you don't meet someone that plays Irish music now. It might have been different 50 years ago, but definitely now, you know, there's sessions all over the world. In fact, there's a bohola in Mexico.
Oh, and I should ask what that means.
It's a flatbread.
Matty Jo Hamish said he thought it was translated from the little hut or the door to a hut. That's what he thought, because it was one of these, probably an Irish word at one time that got anglicized.
Okay.
So, but he thought it was the door to a hut.
But it's also the name of a town in Mayo.
In fact, that was the first tune we played. It was an old version of the Bohola Jig, where we actually got our name.
Name from that.
Yeah.
And it came from a man who came from that part of the country who moved to Chicago, who was a musician.
So he brought the tune with him and taught everyone in Chicago, and then, you know, hopefully teaching other people how to play a tune. I know if we ever do a workshop, I always teach them the Bohola Jig.
Yeah.
It's a great tune.
Yeah. It is a great
tune. It's a great tune. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the Chicago style of Irish music, of Irish music making?
There is a certain style in Chicago, and a lot of it actually has to do with Francis O'Neill, who you mentioned earlier with the Dunn Collection. He's actually the guy that's doing the circus barking, introducing the tunes, and he was from Bantry in Cork and emigrated after post-famine in Ireland and ended up in Chicago in the late 1800s and became chief of police. And during his tenure there, he ended up collecting music from all these Irish musicians who had immigrated to the States as well. Most of them actually became cops as well. And he published several, I think it was like 35 or 4,000 tunes over a span of several books. And a lot of those tunes were actually played by people in Chicago, because a lot of the musicians that he took the tunes from lived until the 40s and 50s when the generation that I learned from were growing up playing. So there was this kind of, you know, there was this connection that went through.
But everybody learned from the O'Neill Collection, even in Ireland.
Yeah.
So it was the book.
Even in Ireland. That's
oh, absolutely,
interesting.
Yeah.
But
the other thing was, I think it was only when Irish musicians emigrated to America that Irish music was recorded and then sent back.
Yeah, and actually the first recording of Irish music was a Dutch-German by the name of John Kimmel.
Yeah.
And it was an Edison
cylinder.
Cylinder thing, yeah. So it almost, like, the music had to leave the country before it was valued.
Yeah. Oh, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the whole notion of absence makes the heart grow fonder and the ears better in tune.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, let's hear another tune, because the music is what we're talking about here on Lake Effect. And I have Jimmy Keane and Pat Broders in the studio to play us something. So what is the next tune?
Well, you know, part of what we've always loved doing is actually, instead of just playing tunes and then a song, we'd like to combine them. So this is just a short snippet of a couple of tunes that we played together. A tune called Blue Hill, as Finbar Fury said, rewrote. And then a great song that was actually, where was the guy from? Is he from? And what's it? The
Lonesome Robin.
Lonesome Robin. And then The Last of Carrick Castle. So just tune in a couple songs. Thank you.
Rise up from your bed of straw. See if you can bend back your bow one last time. You're sick from your wounds, and you say you don't care, but tomorrow it'll prey on your mind. Wherever your arrow it falls to the ground, we'll lay lonesome Robin down one last time. No more, Robin, no more, your outlaw days are over. When you were a little boy, you had to go to bed early, and the sun still shone. It's just like sleep was the end of the world, and tomorrow would never ever come. And now, lonesome Robin, won't you close your eyes and pretend that the sun it'll rise one last time. No more, Robin, no more, your outlaw days are over. It's funny how hot is the sun now that you can't run away from the city. You just lie there and think of the dear you have run, and of all the games that you played, and wondering what Marianne's found to do that's better than coming to see you one last time. No more, Robin, no more, your outlaw days are over. Now time's taken your time away. Time and deceptions have whittled you down. And all of the times that ever you had, they have took to their heels and run. Hold on to whatever is closest to you. That's all lonesome Robin can do one last time. No more, Robin, no more, your outlaw days are over.
Gentlemen, that was great. Thank you so much. It was Jimmy Keen and Pat Broders in Lake Effect's studio. And I love the mix of doing the tunes and the songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really nice thing to kind of break it up and see how they all connect too. I love how you find ways into the next song.
It's always
an adventure.
But doesn't that keep it fresh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So what's happening after this? Are you out on tour? Are you doing an album? What's going on?
We're thinking about doing an album.
Yeah.
In the process of thinking about it.
And we're actually going to be in Peoria the following weekend.
Yeah, we're doing Peoria.
There's an Irish festival down there.
Okay.
And we got other things coming up during the year too. So we're doing the O'Flaherty Retreat this year down
Which
in
is?
Texas. It's a teaching weekend down in North Texas. It's a weekend on a – it's like a camp, a music camp. So people go there and spend a week and hang out with you, and they learn. They suck all the secrets out of you.
And then go out and take all the gigs, right? Or hopefully
so,
not.
So true.
Train them too well. You want a little job security.
Instead of partaking in your own downfall.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, gentlemen, can't thank you enough for coming in and playing a little bit for us. And what are you going to take us out with?
Actually, a new tune I've been working on that I've written called there's a set of tunes called Planksties, meaning in praise and honor of. So I just thought, well, it'd be nice to actually write something about Chicago, except use the way that most Irish immigrants first enunciate Chicago, Chicago. So I'm calling this Planksty Chicago.
Well said.
Thanks very much for having us, Bonnie. Pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Jimmy Keen and Pat Broders are Bohola. They're based in Chicago, and they're playing all weekend here at Irish Fest. There's a link to their schedule and to their website from ours, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We're going to shift gears a bit next to feature a couple of the bands that are part of this year's showcase on Nova Scotia and Cape Breton. Gaelic singer Mary Jane Lamond and her band join us when Lake Effect Weekend continues. It's Milwaukee Public Radio. We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend, and I'm Bonnie North. One of the great musical traditions in Nova Scotia and Cape Breton is its Gaelic singing. That's Gaelic as in the language of the Highlands of Scotland, brought to eastern Canada by the waves of Scottish immigrants over the years. Mary Jane Lamond is a big name on that scene. She fell in love with Scottish Gaelic songs as a child, and she's since dedicated herself to preserving this traditional music. She's teamed up with her best friend, Wendy McIsaac, who also happens to be an award-winning fiddler, pianist, and step dancer. Together, they released the album Shane, which draws on the works of Cape Breton musicians of old and tunes that have survived the generations. It was named one of NPR's top 10 folk Americana albums of 2012. Mary Jane and Wendy, along with guitarist Seth Peters and multi-instrumentalist Kathy Porter, are playing all weekend at Irish Fest, and they're also playing for us here in the studio. Right now, we're hearing a Scottish milling song. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for having us.
We're hearing Mary Jane Lamond, Wendy McIsaac, Seth Peters, and Kathy Porter in the studio. And just fantastic stuff. And this is from the new album, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. The new Shane, it's called. And Wendy and I, it's our... Although we've been playing together for 18 years, making music together. I sang on one of Wendy's CDs, and she's played in my band for years. But this is our first kind of collaborative effort as a duo, so it's great fun to do it.
You're so comfortable playing together. I can see it here in the mm-hmm. studio. And then how did Seth and Kathy come in?
Kathy played in my band a number of years ago, and we did a lot of touring in the States together. I had kind of, as Wendy said, had played with a smaller group, and eventually Wendy and Seth and I did some gigs. I had some gigs come up and just wanted to try something a lot smaller. And then, of course, we had the idea to do this CD together, and we had Seth. There's lots of guests on the CD, though, but, you know, we had planned to do something quite small. And so we did a couple of shows with just the three of us, and we really felt like we wanted to add another person. And Kathy was just, you know, she plays accordion and percussion and sings, so she's just... she's a great performer too, so we just thought she'd be great, and she was willing to come along with us.
Now everybody wants to steal her from us.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is good.
That's fantastic when you wanted that much. And I love the mix of percussion that I'm sitting in front of. I mean, for the radio audience, you're sitting on what would be the bass drum. Mm-hmm. And then what are the other pieces that you've got there?
There's a cabasa and a shaker, and then all these, the toenails, they're actually made of shells from Cameroon and from South America.
One of the things I love about the arrangement of this song, it's a very modern sound. It's very sort of jazzy. I really like it.
Actually, Seth and I were quite a long before we started the album. We were out in Saskatchewan somewhere and just sort of fooling around with the song. And I had been just playing with left-hand buttons on the accordion and just moving, you know, just those chords like that. And that seemed to work. And then we kind of further worked on it, and then actually ended up doing this on the recording with a pianist called David Mulligan and Karina Hewitt, who's a harpist. They're a couple from Scotland, so we sent it to them. So he does Celtic, but he's also a jazz player, so I think that influenced it a little bit too, mm-hmm. the feel of it.
And tell me about the song. It's a work song?
It's a work song. We call them milling songs in English and in Cape Breton, and they call them walking songs in Scotland. People might be more familiar with that term. It's Oran Woy in both places, so it's in Gaelic. So when they take the cloth off the loom, the cloth has to be fulled and the fibers shrunk. So they would sew it in a big circle and pound it back and forth on a table when it was wet, and so that shrinks the fabric and it gets passed around. And this is women's work, and so there's literally thousands of songs that go with this kind of work. As Alan Lomax said, I think he said that the work songs of the Scottish Gaels are like the jewel of Western Europe, because they're so numerous and vast, like rowing songs and reaping songs, spinning songs, weaving songs. So they sang to every kind of work they did. So there's a lot of these very rhythmic songs, and they're very popular in Cape Breton. They've really stayed in the tradition.
Now, obviously, they came from Scotland to Nova Scotia and Cape Breton mm-hmm. With the Scottish immigrants. But do they still sing them in Scotland in the same way, or has Cape Breton and Nova Scotia really sort of taken over this tradition and kept it alive?
No, I'd say, you know, people would still say, certainly for walking songs, there's a lot of women get together. Like, there are different walking song groups that get together who demonstrate walking, and they sing the songs.
And what about the Gaelic itself? Is it pretty similar still between the Highlands in Scotland and Nova Scotia?
Oh, yes. It hasn't really changed. I mean, certainly our vocabulary in terms of there'd be a few things here and there, you know, in terms of the landscape was quite different in winter and all of these things. And we haven't really developed words for technology because it's very much a social language, and we still socialize in a very traditional way through the ceilidh, gathering people together and just singing songs. And so there isn't really any kind of industry around Gaelic the way there is in Scotland through broadcasting, and you know, there's the councils and you know, the Borscht na Gaelic and Clee, like so people, so they've developed a lot of terms that they use quite regularly for computers and things like that that just don't come into our speech as much. It starts to become more familiar now, like, you know, post-Jawan is an email, which literally is an electric letter, so electric mail. So, yeah, so there's a few things that we've become more familiar with because people are working on projects. And as you were working on things like a website, which was developed called Indrachich Ettering, which is an all-Gaelic website that I worked on, because you're working on technology, it starts to become easier to find the Gaelic for it than to switch to use the English words all the time. So if the situation arises, I guess that's when the language gets developed for
right.
it.
Right. I was going to say the language adapts.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we going to hear next?
Well, we were talking about how a lot of the songs came over from Scotland, and this song actually was composed in 2004 by Gertie Donawalch and Brian O'Hara. Gertie is also known as Jeff MacDonald. He's a neighbor of mine. And Celtic Colors International Festival commissioned he and Brian O'Hara, who's a singer-songwriter from Scotland but via Ireland, obviously by his name, you can tell. And they called it Talaigh na Beinne Gutama, which is the Blue Mountains Lullaby. So it's one of the hills in the Craignish Hills that I see at my window living in Glendale in Inverness County in Cape Breton. And it's as if the mountain is speaking and the mountain is welcoming the gales as they come and welcoming the sound of the music they're making with their axes as they're clearing homesteads for themselves. And then the mountain goes on to lament the decline of the language and people leaving to go elsewhere.
Acunya famisho amrishua shinche Gushia Namuan and Chiadoch and Boykitswan are Yanike and Natu the Fekushka Mokuan Falilo Snohoro Elegoro Falile. The horror will go. You live on the horror will go. Badile, the horror will go. And nothing, God, it me and Mohari. Is mon roch chien ku kyan Kyo na tua yas na duana kan Yisht mi is hok mi na faun Balilo snoro ele goro Balile Sahoro ele go, Yuriba. Sahoro ele goro, Balile. Sahoro ele go. Asklew, sklew chian ele na chisho. Sache von a coward moran Nam Harish Emma Juan and Catapuan Fanny Nig and Tawick and them modern Fadido Sahoro Eligoro. Palile Sahoro ele go Yuriba Sahoro ele goro Palile Sahoro ele go. Schoonuk me, mok out in a cheer with us. Skunk and coin me and can and cure was to be. Can and kai of Kurua, a cheer nah. Badido.
Thank you so much. That was just lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, Mary Jane, I know you have played Irish Fest before. Wendy, have you been here before?
Yeah, the same year.
Okay, 7 years ago. In the same. How about you two? Have you? So Kathy hasn't, and Seth, you haven't. So this is your first time, and this is also a Nova Scotian showcase this year.
Yes,
which is really lovely.
Actually, the first time I was here 7 years ago, it was as well. We had a big tent there. It was kind of like Nova Scotia Corner. Yeah, it was like old home night last night at backstage, and all the people and different bands came by to visit us who weren't from Nova Scotia, so that was fun. Yeah.
One of the things that we talked to Glenn Graham before the festival started, just about, you know, what makes the Nova Scotian sound, kind of the tradition of that, because it mixes so many things, you know, from Scotland, from Ireland, from Acadian. There's that influence in there as well. And you've developed this tradition that is unique to the world of traditional music, but you can still hear all of those influences. And so I think it's really wonderful that they're doing that, that they're kind of focusing on it.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, we have some singer-songwriters there as well. Yeah, that I suppose they've been influenced, too, by all those things as well. In terms of what we do, I think the songs are pretty straight up the way they would have been sung. And I don't think the tradition in terms of Gaelic singing changed that much, really, from what they brought over from Scotland. I think it was pretty much stayed the same and certainly had less influences than other traditions. I mean, it's a very conservative tradition anyways. I remember the first time I was over in Scotland, I was in Harris. Some traditional singers came over to visit me since I knew I was there visiting, and they were invited over, and they started singing a milling song, a walking song that was sung on the north shore of Cape Breton. And of course, I knew where the people were from, Lewis and Harris. Originally, their ancestors would have been. And I knew the songs came from there, but it was really an amazing experience to sit there and hear this song. They sang the same melody, the same verses in the same order as I'd heard it on the North Shore. And that's 200 years those people had no contact, and that song hadn't shifted in either place.
Wow.
That's quite amazing, isn't it?
It is. I would have expected some difference.
No. There was very little, yeah. In the real tradition, there was very, very little change, yeah.
Even just the way, like, my grandparents and our grandparents, the Gaelic speakers, the way they spoke in English, my grandparents could speak Gaelic. They didn't speak it to us, but amongst themselves they did. And so they, you know, they had these accents, which I suppose I have a little bit of. Then I just started hearing some of the speakers from Scotland, from certain areas. I couldn't believe how much they sounded like my grandparents, you know, like after all that time. You see where, you know, the accents come from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The influence in the English. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that people in the United States are less aware of the Nova Scotian tradition and what you have in terms of music, or are people kind of catching up here?
I think they've been aware for quite a long time. I performed in that when I was here 7 years ago with Mary Jane, and as well with a band called Beolach. There's five of us in the band. We used to tour in the United States a lot in places we had never been before. And simply because we were a band from Cape Breton, the show would have a lot of tickets sold just on that alone. So people are absolutely aware of the music that comes out of Nova Scotia and, I guess, Cape Breton.
It depends on where you go, too. But I don't think it's as well known as, say, the Irish music. But, I mean, Riverdance had a lot to do with that. Make this idea of Irish music in people's very clear in people's heads. So I think in terms of Cape Breton and Nova Scotia, then there's some awareness for sure. Among people who know the Celtic music, I think they're
very
well aware.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not so much a general audience.
Not the general audience, so much. Yeah.
People who like Celtic music in general definitely know of Cape Breton music, Cape Breton style, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go out with, is it jigs, reels?
Reels, yeah, and if you have enough time, I could put a Strass Bay in front of them so you can get that.
That'd be lovely.
Sense as well.
Let's do it.
I'll play a Strass Bay I've been playing called, it's called The Duke of Gordon's Birthday, so it's an older tune that came over. Then we're going to go into a set of tunes from the album called The Yellow Coat Set, and there's four reels, which I just have been playing for years at the dances at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mary Jane Lemon, Wendy McIsaac, Seth Peters, and Kathy Porter, thank you so much for coming in and performing for us, and enjoy Irish Fest.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Bonnie.
And welcome back to Milwaukee. It's great to have you back.
Oh, it's really nice to be back. It's a beautiful city.
Mary Jane Lamond, Wendy McIsaac, Seth Peters, and Kathy Porter are part of the Nova Scotia Showcase at Irish Fest. As always, there are links to schedules and websites from ours, wuwm.com/lakeeffect.
We'll have more music from Nova Scotia coming up next, but you'll be forgiven if you think it sounds distinctly American. The Modern Grass jams in the studio next on Lake Effect Weekend from WUWM. And we're back with Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. We're continuing our special music edition of the show today. And as you've heard by now, the music of Nova Scotia is being showcased this year at Milwaukee's Irish Fest. But if you just happen upon the music of the five-piece band The Modern Grass, you probably wouldn't have thought you were at an Irish music festival. The group looks back on the bluegrass and folk tradition of Appalachia and brings it forward with the influences of modern Nova Scotia. The result? Well, you're hearing the result. The group formed 2 years ago, has toured practically nonstop, and already has five albums and a slew of awards under its belt. With shows both Saturday and Sunday, the Modern Grass dropped by our performance studio to play and to chat with Mitch Tyke. They started with a song called Rambo.
Stop these shaking hands. If God's so grand, I just can't understand. Why leave a man to sink into the sand?
Modern Grass playing in Lake Effect's performance studio and proving once again that music is just a good thing. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah,
thanks, Mitch.
Well, and who are you anyway? Why don't you each introduce yourself and tell us what you're playing?
My name's Adam Pine. I play the double bass.
Dan McCormick on banjo.
Donald McLennan. I play fiddle, violin, whatever you want to call it.
My name's Tom Terrell. I play the guitar and sing.
And my name is Andrew Snedden, and I play the risophonic guitar.
Well, and again, thanks so much. It's great to have you here. What is it about the musical past that attracts you? I mean, this is not old-timey bluegrass per se, but it owes a lot to a musical past. What is it about that past that grabs you all?
I think it's something different for each person, and that's why we end up sounding the way we do. We all have these sort of eras and styles of music from the past that we're all very keen on.
I think we all have in common, though, that we like acoustic music.
Yeah.
The fact that we can just stand here and play without being plugged in. We can bring our instruments around and be outside if we want to. And it's a very organic kind of thing.
How did you all come to bluegrass? I mean, did you each kind of go through other musical phases before you got here?
Oh, yeah. I think we definitely all went through a lot of musical phases, for sure.
Punk rock, heavy metal.
Yeah. But, you know, bluegrass is the kind of music that really brings people together. So for me, anyway, when I fell in love with it, I just didn't want to do anything else, really. I mean, I enjoy lots of other kinds of music and playing them, but in my heart, you know, it's like I want to play bluegrass music, you know, or some form of it, you know.
It's funny how different musical genres tend to have themes that you can associate with that genre that are outside of the musical aspect of it.
What do you become an instant folklorist when you become a bluegrass musician?
For instance, you know what I mean? You dig into, like, legends and stories from, you know, all over the United States that you read about. And
even the tunes themselves kind of have stories in them. You can kind of hear things in them. But it's very jammable music, so everyone...
That's right.
You can get together. If you know a repertoire of tunes, you can... We could get together, none of us could know each other, and still... Pretty much
play some tunes,
Without having to sit down and, like, okay, here's some sheet music. Here's some charts.
Yeah. It would still sound reasonably good too.
If you know the repertoire.
Do you have to tap into an old time way of telling a story when you write a new bluegrass song?
Well, the thing is, I think wouldn't consider our band a bluegrass band per se. Mm-hmm. And when I write songs, and Andrew writes some songs in the band too. Naturally, because of the culture we've immersed ourselves in, We end up talking about trains and losing our women and, you know,
drinking.
Our dog, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Losing our dog, yeah. Our communal dog, he's gone. He's been shaking. If you find him, please call, you know, send an email.
But it's definitely not a conscious effort. And as far as the songwriting goes, I think it's kind of nice to contrast some of that, some of the old-timey ways with, you know, what's happening in the modern day. And we all live in the city, or at least some of us do. I just moved out there, and we're all in and out of the city anyway. So, you know, it's country music, it's bluegrass music, it's jazz music. It's music that comes from the country, but their experiences that we're all having a lot of the time in a city nowadays.
Well, I have a lot more to ask, but let me ask the big question right now, and that is, can you play another song for us?
Yes, we can. And we're going to do a fresh one here, and it's new for the Modern Grass. It's a story from the west coast of British Columbia. Actually, I remember very clearly the day writing the song. I was on my way to work, and I was sitting at a bus stop in Victoria, in the middle of the city, and kind of got in this funny headspace and started observing what was happening around me, and ended up sitting there and writing a tune, or song, I should say. Not going to work. Didn't go to work. I just skipped work. Probably got fired. It was probably for the best. But no, this is it's about the about some of the street characters I met over in Victoria, BC. It's called City Ghosts.
Well, the brim of his cap he caresses with his thumb on top and his fingers resting on his boots, the same black as his two front teeth. Now the street lights piss on our floor.
the Modern Grass playing City Ghosts in Lake Effect's Performance Studio C1. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there a rush to playing this stuff? There is a particular energy that exists in this music, no matter how fast or slow it is. I mean, are you feeling some adrenaline every time you start playing?
Big time. It's a big part of our music is connecting in that way. I think it's a big part of a lot of people's music, but it really for us, it's like we were saying, we all play acoustic and dynamics become very important. Yeah, getting groovy, whether we're slow or fast at any tempo, that's the goal.
It's sort of hard to play with an authentic sound, I think, especially in this genre, if there isn't a bit of adrenaline happening when you're playing.
Yeah, totally. There's a bit of a lilt to bluegrass, especially at higher tempos, and it's a kind of music that's generally fairly on top of the beat. There's obviously different spots you place a beat, and it's one that's is driving. We call it hard. Sometimes we'll be like, all right, this one's a hard driving tune because it really has to keep going forward. You don't want to be speeding up like crazy, but it needs to have forward momentum to it, right? So it's really fun and contagious, and it makes you move too. It's
probably why we're all drawn to this music before. Like, we all love listening to it, but I think we really enjoy it because it's a really kind of fun thing to play.
It is fun, and there's lots of improvisation.
That's probably why we
too.
All do play together, because we all can kind of connect in that way. And we've played with lots of other people before, and I think the five of us kind of connect better than we have with other people in the past.
And kind of we do a better playing music than we do talking to each other.
Well, so let me ask you this. I mean, you have been together as a band since 2011.
Yes, that's correct.
And you have five albums under your belt. Well, how is that even possible?
Well, that's Christmas. Possible because we... Yeah, Christmas makes everything... No. It's possible because we actually started in December, and not only did we need a reason to play together and record an album together, we also needed Christmas presents. So that being the first album that we recorded, and we had such great success with it that we couldn't not record it. We can't not record a Christmas album every year. It just gives us something to do in December.
Oh, yeah.
Other than travel and do the things that most people do in December.
So we have three. The first project we did was Christmas album together with the four of us, and then we met Dan, or we added Dan later. But a couple months later, we did an album of original music that we called Modern Grass Quartet. And then when December came around again, it was like, well, hey, we should probably do a Christmas album again. And then it came around again this year, and we're like, well, I guess we got to do it again. And then we got the CBC did a live Christmas show with us, and it's funny. I never thought before the time I was 30 I'd have three Christmas albums.
The fourth on the way.
We're playing a live one for next year.
And that's the thing about the tunes. There's no words, and I think that's why we ended up doing it, because we're like, oh, these are good tunes.
These are great melodies.
We don't know the words. We forget the words or never knew them. But you always remember the melodies, and once you get rid of the words and you start swinging it. And you're not really thinking about Christmas. I'm just kidding.
Well, it becomes slightly more universal.
Yeah, it becomes a tune, just like all the rest of the tunes we love playing.
So you're in Milwaukee as part of Irish Fest.
That's right.
There are a lot of pipes being played. There's a lot of step dancing going on. There is a lot of music that doesn't sound like this. Does it strike you as, do you feel like you stick out when you're playing your music among all this other kind of Irish traditional stuff?
I think it's slightly in a good way, too, where it's like slightly different than what's going on. Now, we were told that last year the festival had a bit of a bluegrass focus, so they brought in lots of bluegrass acts. But this year, there's only really a couple in that vein. So, for me, I love Celtic music. I love, playing it and listening to it and being around it. But I think it's a good thing that we're, one of the few bluegrass groups. It's sort of, oh, this is something different than what's going on.
Bluegrassy. Because the funny thing is, at a bluegrass festival, we stick out too.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Like almost as much, if not more, at a bluegrass festival, and it's fine with us. I think
it depends on how progressive the festival is too. Like there's a lot of, there's the movement of contemporary bluegrass and as I say, newgrass and. A lot of festivals are promoting that, but then there's traditional festivals where people want to go hear traditional bluegrass music. So at those, we sort of stick out. And
you meet chair clickers.
Yeah.
People sitting in their foldable chairs, and it's not really trad bluegrass. You just hear the chairs like.
The thing is, we play Irish music, we play Cape Breton music, we play straight bluegrass music a lot of the time. So we can fit in, but we stick out too.
Well, you stick out on this show in a good way. Let me just say thank you so much, and best of luck to you. I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And what are you going to play us out with?
Well, we're going to dip into the bluegrass vein here, and we're going to play a Kenny Baker and Bill Monroe original. It's called Jerusalem Ridge, and we kind of put a bit of a modern grass spin on it. Not much, though. Pretty much note for note. This is Jerusalem Ridge.
The Modern Grass hails from Halifax, Nova Scotia. They talk with Mitch Tyke ahead of their concerts at Irish Fest this weekend. You will find links to their schedule and more about the band at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And you can find all of our Irish Music Festival coverage there as well, including lots of extras like slideshows. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. And thanks to engineer John Strelecki and interns Eleanor Peterson and Gabby Magianis, and also staffers Stephanie Lecce and Mitch Tyke for doing yeoman's duty, getting all of our Irish Fest coverage on the air and onto the website. Lake Effect Weekend airs every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. You can hear our weekday version of the show at 10 in the morning. It's all on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Weekend All Things Considered comes up next. Stay tuned.